And I'll tell you what, anybody diving in? You have to be ready for that business. You might want a life jacket from time to time. I'll speak for myself. Where's my life jacket? Diving in requires such courage. I feel as though these last 3 years are just constantly pulling us in. And it's not always easy. It requires courage and presence, and my favorite, non-resistance. Oh, that resistance. What is the deal with that resistance? Anybody else have an issue with resistance? Oh, God, I knew I loved you people. Yes, and so I've been bringing this series of mindful self-compassion as a way of cultivating, mindfulness cultivates an attitude of non-resistance and non-judgment by letting our experience and ourself be as it is. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to like it or that we might not even be working to better some aspect of that experience, but first and foremost, we have to be able to be with the fullness of our experience without needing it to be different, without needing ourselves to be different, them to be different, it to be different, right? We could just have a check-in right now. If you just checked in right now, just taking a breath. And really allowing yourself to just become fully present in this moment, turning off where you could be, where you should be, being present right here in this moment, feeling the breath, feeling your body, feeling the people nearby. Wouldn't take very long for some aspect of this experience to cause some judgment and resistance, yeah? And so the invitation is just to notice that. And then we begin to notice how when we are in judgment or resistance, we are not in the moment. And this is where life is happening. And so that's just we're going to do a fuller experience of that, but it's just interesting to drop in and to notice how quickly, in my experience, there comes some resistance and some judgment about how I should be doing it, how I'm not doing it, why that person is wearing that perfume, why the temperature, you know, it's just constant. So we're talking about this idea of mindful self-compassion in through the lens of the core elements of loving, compassionate presence, which supports us in staying present. Now here's the thing, if we have a hard time staying present, when things are pretty neutral, you can imagine when they get hard. There's that part of us that's like, resistance and judgment, and get me out of here. So if we can center in this idea of loving, compassionate presence, it supports us to stay present in times of difficulty with less resistance, less self-judgment, less self-criticism, connecting us with our shared humanity. We're not the only ones that have this experience. We're not the only ones that struggle. We're not the only ones that judge and criticize. And certainly in terms of mindful self-compassion, it's not necessarily taught with any spiritual affiliation, but if you're grounded in a spiritual belief system, it can deepen that as well. Because in any way that we resist our experience, we are resisting the depth that we are as divine expressions having a human experience. So they go hand in hand. Cultivating a loving, compassionate presence counters that human tendency to judge and to criticize and to resist, which also then thwart our connection with spirit. When we resist anything, right, we're not fully present. There's that equation that says, you know, we don't get out of life without pain. But suffering, the level to which we suffer, is really multiplied by our resistance. And while our spiritual principles afford us greater strength and wisdom and understanding, it's only when we use them to meet the fullness of our experience, especially when it's difficult, that they really come alive. And I have only just begun to realize that. I've known these things and loved them for years. And they sort of kept me above some areas that I might have wanted to dive into, Stephanie. Thank you for singing that. Yes. If we say, you know, we say our God is love and that we are all expressions of that love. But if we can't hold ourselves with love, what good is it? Right? Similarly, that we affirm that our race is human. We feel the depth of that. We feel the freedom of that connection. But unless we can stand with those who have systematically been oppressed or marginalized based on the illusion of race, how good is that teaching? We hold tight to our faith in oneness, oneness with God, oneness with each other. But until we become one with ourselves, all aspects of ourselves, our humanness, our profound divinity, our truth, our true nature, there's a gap in the oneness, yeah? And so the trick, if there's a trick, the catch, the goal is to use our spiritual teachings to help integrate all of these parts, which are never really separate except we make them be. Yes, we are spiritual beings, and we are in the depth of a human experience. Spirituality that is one-sided is not grounded. I heard this quote. I've not read the book. I'm not recommending it. I just heard this quote that made me laugh, and I wrote it down and kept it by my computer. It's a book called Grounded Spirituality by Jeff Brown, and the quote is, "All self-avoidant flights of fancy must be grounded until further notice." All self-avoidant flights of fancy must be grounded until further notice. Take it inward. And so this is the reasoning behind the series that I've brought to you. And as we look today through this lens of these three components, loving, connected, presence, which don't you just kind of sense God in that? Right? Loving, connected, presence. Now, I could be confusing because we say God is not loving. God is love itself. We're the ones doing the loving. We're the ones that express that love by loving. But I think of a loving presence when I think of God as love. So loving, connected presence, we have to look at them backwards on purpose to get to the love part. We have to become first present. And our modern world has really mastered how to keep us distracted. I was picking up some order to go the other night, and I kind of was waiting at the bar in a Mexican restaurant, and this couple had just sat down, and they were probably my age or a little bit older. He was clearly just from work, still had his reflective vest on, just looked like, whoo, it's been a day. So they ordered all their alcohol, you know, which we've done. She's like, he's going to need a shot. It's been a really hard day. It's like Wednesday at 5 o'clock. No judgment. We've done it. I've done it. Can't do it anymore. I'll tell you that right now. And then she said, he's going to need a shot. He's had a really bad day at work. And so I kind of was like, oh. And he was like, oh. And so he's starting to tell her about it. And she pulls out her iPad and starts doing some kind of a word game. And I'm just appalled. But every now and then would look up and be like, oh, you're kidding. Like, she was totally tracking the conversation, but, you know, it's sort of like, whoa, this is, how present are we? And I have no doubt that the minds that have created all that and doing all that algorithming know what they're doing. They keep it, it's very addictive. So it's not a judgment as well as as much as an observation. How do we become present with this barrage of information and entertainment and opinions and all coming at us? And so that is why I think mindfulness has really become a common tool for presence. And I love that it also supports an attitude of non-resistance and non-judgment. And before you start judging yourself about your judging, just be reminded that those are common human experiences. So we don't have to stop it, but we need to recognize how it can limit us, particularly when we turn it on ourselves. We see that those attitudes and those behaviors for what they are, they're no longer running us. And then our connection, right, which that story alluded to this morning. We become present to what is. We let life and ourselves be as it is in order to be present to the pain, to the suffering, to the joy, to the mundane, all of it. And particularly in times that are difficult, would you say this might be a difficult time? Nah, okay. In our world, it feels like it might be a little bit difficult. Yeah. And there's part of us that would like anything to do to get back to when it wasn't so difficult. And we also know that there were some limitations in those at time as well. So can we then ground in our shared humanity, particularly when we are struggling with something, when we do that thing where we just sort of ruminate and isolate and think we're the only one? Can we remember our shared connection in this thing called humanity? Raise your hand if you've never experienced a really difficult challenge in your life. Now raise your hand if you've judged yourself for how you handled that challenge. You guys are good. So in all seriousness, just take a moment to just look around the room. You know some of these faces and some you don't. Just look around the room. Every single person in this room has had deep challenges in some way or another. Some deep regrets, yeah? Can we feel the support of that and the connection of that, not just in our divinity, which we share, which is so grounding, which is actually, I believe, what meets us when we're willing to look in those hard places. Doesn't take us over them, it meets us right down there in them with strength and love and understanding. I'm always drawn to the quote from Isaiah, the scripture from Isaiah 41:10, where God is speaking these words, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. As you meet the challenges of your own life and of the world, as you come together to love the world, as we're coming here to do, and yes, we share a human experience. Not all of us have the same experience. And we also share a divine experience. We come from that one source of life and love. And that does connect us. And it strengthens us as we hold ourselves with greater compassion and love. So to reiterate, self-compassion is not selfish, right? We're worthy of it just because we're here in these human bodies. And just as we often are so well adept at offering other people kindness and compassion and grace, it's a skill we have to learn to turn inward, and that we're worthy of that just by our being. Loving, connected presence. So I'd like to just lead you actually in a time of meditation that will be a little bit longer than we're used to as we sort of go through these aspects. Centering in a greater presence, connecting with our shared humanity and with our divinity, to land in love, which is the nature of God itself. So just invite you to take a deep breath. I'm going to ring the singing bowl, which is tuned to our heart chakra. So that's an invitation to just drop from our head to our heart. Taking a deep breath, again, feeling the ground supporting you, chair behind your back. And just invite you to take a few deep breaths and invite your physical body to relax, maybe noticing any areas where you may be holding tension. Just invite you to breathe into those and invite those to relax a bit. And also, with every breath, let your mind slow a bit. And just notice already if you're having any resistance to this experience. Let that be. And can begin to focus your awareness on your breath. Breathing in fully, feeling it go through your nostrils, down your throat, filling your lungs. Feeling the air come back through, out your mouth or out your nostrils. It's the experience of breath itself, which is the central experience of life. And get a sense of just how it feels to be in your body today. Feeling the clothes touching your skin. Just letting the breath keep your focus for this moment. Tuning in to any sounds you hear, letting them come and go. Just notice, fully present to all that you can sense in this moment. And notice how it feels as you breathe into any areas of tightness or resistance, to just wholeheartedly welcome the full experience of being you right here, right now. In your physical body, in your mental and emotional body, and if any of that feels too daunting in any way, just ground yourself in knowing the powerful presence of divine love that dwells within you. We know that what we resist persists. And so we just open up to let our experience be what it is in this moment. And if we have resistance or judgment, we let it be. We don't resist it or judge it. Letting it be. We notice how the quality of our presence is deepened through the attitudes of non-resistance and non-judgment. There is some freedom there, some breathing room there. We can be there. So continuing to breathe into the fullness of that presence that you are cultivating. Tune into the fullness of your humanity as you connect with those around you in mind and spirit. Connecting with the shared experience that we have as human beings having this experience. We're not alone in our joys or our sorrows. Circumstances are what they are in any given moment. Some are wonderful, some are agonizing, and most fall in between somewhere. We all experience that. And so in this place of awareness and presence, we just become aware. We ask the question, what might I miss when I am in judgment or in resistance? And how can I open up to that more fully? It may just be tuning in to your family more. It may be tuning into yourself more. It may be tuning into the natural world more. What do I miss when I'm captivated by needing things to be different, resisting? And again, not judging ourselves for it. Just opening up to a greater sense of freedom as we release resistance. And connecting with each other here and with the whole of human family strengthens and comforts us. We are not alone in this. And we are not alone in our resistance and our judgment. We all face challenges. So we can calm that inner critic that thinks we shouldn't have them, thinks we should have more faith, be more spiritual, whatever that is. Challenges and difficulties are a part of our experience, and they grow us, they deepen our connection with the truth of who we are. And so, however that lands for you today, can you offer yourself in this moment just the generosity that you would offer a friend as you hone in on one particular area of your life that you feel is challenging, or the world? Right? Feel the weight of that challenge. Feel your attitude toward it. Is there some word or some feeling that you can offer to give yourself some room and some support, some compassion and love. And whatever this may be, that just feels hard for you in this moment. And if this feels impossible, or whenever it may feel impossible in the future, the invitation is to center more fully in the presence of God as love within your being. Letting it strengthen you, help you, and uphold you. So just breathe that in, that there is that within your being and within the universe itself, that in times of challenge, in all times, but most especially in times of challenge when we need that the most, we are strengthened and upheld. And so for this awareness, just offer a sense of gratitude, right? For our ability to know who we are as expressions of the divine, and to face and to embrace the fullness of our human experience with generosity and love and compassion. So as you go forth this day, may you feel that you are strengthened and upheld, and may you be gentle with yourself.
I invite you to join me in this beautiful chant about being gentle with ourselves. I will be gentle with myself. I will be gentle with myself. And I will hold myself like a newborn baby child. I will be gentle with myself. I will be gentle with myself. And I will hold myself like a newborn baby child. And I will only go as fast as the slowest part of me feels safe to go. And I will only go the slowest part of me feels safe to go. I will be gentle with myself. I will be gentle with myself. And I will hold myself like a newborn.
Thank you for tuning in today. We hope that you found something meaningful in our service. If you'd like to learn more about us or make a donation in support of what we do here, visit unitydenver.org. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. every Sunday. We hope to see you sometime in person.